there are in on the space station, and in fact everywhere, there are three ways of going about using robotics. One is what's called teleoperation, which means that there's actually a robot out there, but I manipulate the robot remotely, but I actually do the controlling. From teleoperation you go to something like telepresence, where this is what typically happens on the space station, or in fact if one's wanting to repair a satellite, because of communication delays, it may be that there's 1 or 2 seconds delay in communicating information from where you are to a satellite that you're trying to, or to a robot you're trying to get to manipulate the satellite. In that particular case, it's very slow for the user to move something and then wait 2 seconds to see what he's done. And in that case, you want automatic systems that do some sort of prediction, so that what the guy moving these arms and levers sees is in fact what's predicted to happen and not what actually happens. So he can move them in this sort of simulated environment. What actually goes on takes place 2 seconds later. And that area is still very much in the research stage, for example, what happens if the simulation doesn't match what actually goes on. Okay, so for guidance, navigation and control, there's a whole lot of reasoning systems that are needed. For example, automation of traffic control. This is essentially the same thing that goes on at airports. There are a lot of things flying around up there, and how do we automate that? So there are all these other, whole lot of other systems where we need expert systems or reasoning systems for being able to do the reasoning about how to go about certain tasks, where robots are needed to actually carry out the tasks. Yeah, in fact, I didn't finish about what I was saying about teleoperate. After the telepresence, then comes actual robots that do it, and these may be programmed. And the final thing that you might have are intelligent robots, where they're just given general tasks like go service that satellite, and they work everything out. So that those 4 stages. So far, NASA's very much on the teleoperation end, and before we get to that intelligent robotics end, is certainly going to be into the next century. All of these have a lot of spin-offs for Earth industry. Now, TRW investigated satellite servicing. It's interesting to talk to the astronauts, and they said one guy I spoke to was talking about actually doing this stuff with the gloves on. And they said that when you're actually trying to pull these components out and manipulate them, which takes hours to do, said that throughout that time it's as if someone's pounding on your fingers with a hammer. It's so unbelievably painful because the gloves are very tough things and very hard to move, and you're having to try and pick up these small components and manipulate them. And they said it was extremely painful. So the astronauts are very much in favour of some sort of robotic devices for replacing them. Okay, so there are various sorts of satellite servicing. For example, you might drag a satellite back to the space station using the orbital manoeuvring vehicle. The orbital manoeuvring vehicle might fly out and fix it while it's flying free. There might be things that are actually attached to the space station that you want to service. Or you might have to fly right out to geosynchronous orbit, right up high, service it up there, and then come back down and rendezvous again with the space station. So there can be quite complex manoeuvres involved in actually getting to the thing you want to service. And again, there's the whole range of automation that can be applied. Now, you can do this all with teleoperation or telepresence, some guy standing there driving it all. Or it can be all automated. You could just give this orbital manoeuvring vehicle the task of servicing that satellite, in which case it has to reason for itself how to get there, how to dock. When it gets there, it has to do maybe fault diagnosis, work out what components to replace, how to replace them, and all the difficulties. I mean, stuff, things don't happen as they do in manuals. You say undo the screw, but in space it's locked up because of the cold or something, and it doesn't work, or something breaks when you, you know, when you try and turn the screw, it, the thread goes or something like that. How do you do all that? So these are the sort of things that are required in satellite servicing. A lot of them, a lot of them apply to Earth. So Earth applications, if you're using robots in factories, just how do you connect things together? And the problem of just putting something like a pin in a hole is extremely difficult. If you just, if you tell a robot to do it, and you give it, even go to the detail of specifying exactly where the hole is and exactly where everything is, the fact that it's just a tiny bit off, the pin will invariably jam. And what humans do is they have compliance. In other words, once it gets in the hole, you sort of wobble your hand around a little bit and it slips in. But those sort of, you know, those things are very important. You have to design them into the robot to have some sort of compliance and force feedback. Transfer of fluids is extremely difficult, especially when they're cryogenic fluids like that are used as fuels, because they're very extremely dangerous. How do you handle these flexible sort of things like foils or hoses? Yeah, way beyond the state of the art for doing lots of those. Well, one of the things that NASA was looking at is humans have very little knowledge of what of space illness and what's going to happen to bones and things like that. Could we use a learning system, an automatic learning system, that would take lots of the data that the astronauts generate over time in the space station and automatically learn what's going on?